going to talk this morning about a new creation. And when we talk about this, when we think about this, a couple of things that I wanted to talk about was when we think about this, the Holy Spirit certainly inspires Paul, who was an apostle, to write some things. And this is one of the things that he writes. And it when we look at these scriptures, it does speak volumes about what's going on in what we have become as Christians. And so as we look at this term, we can learn many lessons from these words. And so I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And there's a context there, as always, but in 16 through 19, you're not going to get to see it unless I put it up there, unless you look it up in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19, it says this, "Therefore," and as we've discussed before, this is, he's saying, "since I have just written the things prior to this," okay, "so therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." That's an interesting term because we do live in the flesh and we look at each other in the flesh, but he says things have changed. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer." Christ is no longer in the flesh. He will not be in the flesh. He is a spiritual being. He is God. He went back to that situation. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing or counting or accounting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And he goes on to talk about what the apostles are doing and trying to get this word out and how they have suffered things to do this and accomplish this task and how it's important that they do this. But he's making it known that this things have totally changed. In Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." So when we think about this, I like to look at different translations sometimes, and you'll notice all of these, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the NIV, the King James Version, the New King James Version. And if you'll notice in this, there's not much changes in the translations, but just looking at them, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if anyone's Christ, as I used in the New King James, he is a new creation." So as we look at this, the word "new" as it's used here, and I realize the variations of this used throughout it, but it's interesting to me the way it's always used in the New Testament. And I want to go and look at this in Mark 1, when he uses this term, you'll notice he again is being used with the idea of a teaching or a doctrine. And so it is something that is changing. Something is different. Something is not going to be the same anymore. And so, as we look at this, certainly the people around recognize this, and they understand that Jesus has this power, and He's teaching things, and they go, "Wow, what's this all about?" And they say, "What is this? What new doctrine or teaching is this?" They recognize this is not what they've heard before. They realize that things are totally changing, that He's teaching something different than the law of Moses. In Luke 22:20, and talking about the Lord's Supper, He talks about this blood is His new covenant. And so it is a different covenant than what they've had before. And that He's making this possible through His blood and thus instituting the Lord's Supper is a reminder of that new covenant. Then in Acts 17:19, we find that they totally understood this idea and they were wanting to know about what Paul was teaching. And they understood this is new, a new doctrine, a new teaching. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, he talks about this again as the Lord's Supper, and he talks about it being a new covenant or a new testament. And the two that we just used, again, used that way for the word new. And I found this interesting because when we get to our definitions of new, we think about them for a moment, and this is totally changing. In other words, there will be no law of Moses anymore once this is completed. It won't be in. You will not be doing that anymore. You are a new creation, totally different from what would have been under the law of Moses. And he, as we talk about creation, he's trying to make a point about something, how things have totally changed. It means of recent origin, production, coming, or occurring afresh, according to dictionary.com. The British dictionary says of a kind never before existing. Totally new. Totally. Not going to be the same. And of course, they didn't understand this in the first century, and it's difficult for people today. They keep trying to integrate everything into what we're trying to become. This word is used seven times in the New Testament, the Greek word. And it's interesting, in Romans 8, it's used four times. Each time this word creation is used in this, I want to go and read that. This is what he talks about. Romans 8, 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We realize he's not talking about all creation. He's talking about the part of creation that can be changed, the part of creation that will go on, the part of creation that is different. And 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, that this was a process of bringing forth a birth, bringing forth something new. When Jenna delivers, and hopefully not in a few moments, because I'm gonna use that a little bit later on. When that happens, totally new. That baby was new. That baby is totally new. There's never been that baby before. There will never be that baby again. When that little girl comes out, that's going to be precious. That's going to be different. That's going to be totally new. She is going to be totally new. So when we look at that, again, it's used the two places, a new creation, but in Hebrews 4:13, one of the few times that at least in most versions, it's used as creature, and rightfully so. We use this scripture a lot in talking about how God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from Him, and He goes on to say, and there's no creature, or we could use creation, hidden from Him. And He's talking about us in this. He's not talking about the plants. He's not talking about, even though He knows all of those things, and He knows what they are, and He knows every molecule of them, everything, He's talking about us. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So when we look at this and think about it, what's He saying in 1 Corinthians 5 about individuals? What is He saying about us? What's He saying about us being a new creation? When we look at a definition and we put creation together, we go with the act of creating or causing to exist, or creatures collectively. That's even a dictionary.com definition. And when you look at that and you think about it, God didn't make things out of something that was already made. I want you to understand the importance of what He's trying to tell us in 1 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 6 and other places, that it has never been before. You have never been before. As a creation, never made something that didn't exist in you. Something that has been brought into existence and created, according to the British Dictionary, so if we put them both together, he's simply saying this, something brought into existence that had never before existed. Well, I was here. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about how I have totally changed, how it is not me in that sense anymore. Something recently created. To be, though, a new creation or creature, it is conditional. He doesn't just say, I'm going to automatically say this. We were talking about grace here earlier. It is by His grace that we are saved. But to be that, you noticed what He said in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5 again. I'm going to go back and I want to read this again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. You cannot be this if you're not in Christ. He makes that clear. The only possibility of being a new creation is to be in Christ. To be a new creation or creature is life-changing. You don't... I hear people saying, well, that person, they were so good anyway. No, they weren't. If they haven't been obedient to God's will, I can tell you right now, God doesn't look at it that way. Cornelius, if that's the case, why in the world did Peter go teach Cornelius? Good man, doing the best he could as a Gentile, trying his best to do everything that he understood that God wanted him to do. Because he wasn't. He needed to change his life. He needed to become a new creation. He needed to totally change. Totally change. Could not be the same person anymore. Why? He is not talking about the old law has passed away. He's talking about in us. In the context, keep reading it, old things have passed away. My old life went away. I cannot have that anymore. I can't be a part of that anymore. I cannot be that at all because some of me became new. That's not what he says. Again, let's keep this in our minds. All things have become new. So let me ask you a question. Someone obeys God. We'll just leave it without going into detail. And they don't change at all. Nothing changes in their life. They keep living the sinful life that they were living. They don't do anything that God tells them to do. Really? Is that what he's saying here? He's saying no. Everything totally changed in your life. Well, wasn't you a pretty good person to start with? He's talking about pretty good people. He's talking about being obedient to Him. He's talking about doing His will. Him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. We have to do what He tells us to do. So how do we become this new creation? In this first lesson, I want to go into a little bit of detail. I know lots of times I'll go quickly over things, but I want to go into detail about a few things. And then in the second one, I want us to totally understand, if we can possibly understand, why he's using this terminology. When we look at this and we think about it, how do we become a new creation? We just say, well, you know, I'm just concerned. I'm not doing what I need to be doing, and I just need to change my life. That's not what he said. If you look at Hebrews 11, it was through their strong faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, has to do something, must believe in Him. And must believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But it's not just a matter of coming. You have to understand there's a reward that comes with that. His grace will be extended to you then. You can have what He has promised with your faith. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Where did the power come from? Through the Word, through the gospel, through the good news, through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do I believe that or do I? A saving faith is strong enough to, number one, push everything else aside and accept God and to understand He exists. And then accept what we can see and understand His creation and then accept His Word. That's hard for us. It is difficult for us to believe in others, let alone a being we don't even see. But when we look around and we see all these things, we can understand that, as we'll talk about later. So it has to also be by my desire to repent. I cannot keep going in the direction I'm going. Not one place, if you'll notice in the Bible, does it say, you're so good you don't need to make any changes. Cody's shaking his head, no, it doesn't say that anywhere. As a matter of fact, when we look at it in Luke 24, he told them, he sent them there to preach that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name among all people. So he sent them to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, it is so important that we understand this idea of we've got to turn away from sin. We've got to turn away from a life that we lived. We've got to do what He asked us to do. That's a total change. None of us were living that way before we became His child. We might have thought we were, but we weren't. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to... This is a beautiful one, I think, about repentance. Turned to God, but that wasn't good enough, and turned to God from idols. You had to turn from something. to serve the living and true God. Well, Abe, I've never worshipped an idol in my life. Well, anytime you idolize anything, you have. Anytime that you followed something other than God, you have. It's your idol. Where did this all start? Well, it started, as I pointed out a few weeks ago, with John's teaching. John the Baptizer, John the Immerser. What was his whole message? Repent. What was Jonah's message to them back there? Repent. You have to make a change. You cannot say, I want this, but I'm not going to do anything in my life. I'm going to stay the way I am. You can see this doesn't work. And this comes to that new birth. I mentioned this briefly last week, but I want to talk about this again one more time. To me, this is so impressive. He went to talk to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, what do I need to do? He said, well, you have to be born again. And people take this and they use it in all different ways and won't even use it in the way birth actually occurs. As I mentioned before, every baby was inside the body in water. Birth occurred when the baby came out of the water. That is so simple and so easy to understand. And exactly the same way with us. That's exactly what he's trying to say. In 1 Peter 1, for those that had already done this, he says this, that they were not redeemed with corruptible things. Well, he first tells them they've got to change their life, as we've already talked about in verse 17. You weren't bought out with corruptible things. You weren't bought out with silver and gold. You didn't come in and you paid a couple $1,000 and some church accepted you and said, that's fine, that's good enough for us. No, that wouldn't do any good. But what did it take? Or he talks about the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But what did it take? The precious blood of Christ. And this had been foreordained, he said. And that he raised him from the dead, and that you have your hope in God. Now, he says, since, as a result of what I just told you, and understanding that Christ died for you, since you know that, what did you do? You have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It takes the seed of man and woman to produce a child. It has to be in a fertile womb before that child will be conceived and grow and finally have birth. He says to us, your faith in the Word of God, which he says is the seed, grows in your mind. It has to be in a fertile mind, a mind that says, okay, I will accept that and I will believe that with all my heart. And that mind says, I need to make some changes. I need to do some things. And as it recognizes what that Word teaches, what does that person do as they think this through? They read God's Word and they understand that they need to be born again. What's the only thing he told us to do that represents that? Well, all of that started that, but it actually takes us being submerged in water to have our sins forgiven. And when we come up out of that water, we do become that new creature or creation. So how did our physical birth occurs? Well, you know, our second birth occurs exactly the same way. If he would have been talking to Nicodemus later, or they would have gone to him, he would have clearly said to him, you remember he has not clearly told them until later on what he wants them to do. But he would tell them, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why would he use this terminology? This is the second birth. Romans 6, 1 through 7. This is what's necessary. He is talking to people who are already Christians. He is reminding them of what they have already done and what they understood that to be and why they need to watch their lives. And he makes a point about this, about then is it okay, Abe, for you to continue in sin just to show the grace of God, as he, I've said Romans wasn't broken up very well, as he said in the previous chapter. He says, is that what you say I'm teaching? Absolutely not. You know better than that, he said. It just won't work in verse 2. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. You know what's unique about a baby in a womb? But that baby can breathe and live and do whatever it needs to inside that womb in water, but you know what? You cannot do the same thing after that baby is born. Someone who's already been born does not need to go through the same process again. Only needs one birth for us to come into the world physically. You only need one birth to come into the spiritual as well. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You literally are dead in that and come out resurrected to a new life. And that's the point He makes. That's why He chose baptism. That's why God used baptism. That's why He did it. He chose it to help us understand how, through our obedience, we can receive His grace and have everlasting life. So, how do we stay a new creation? How do I stay a new creation? Well, I need to actively seek Him. I need to seek those things that are above. I need to seek the Lord. And He talked about that in Acts 17, verse 27. When He talked to them, He said, you need to actively seek Him out. I need to seek the things of the kingdom, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I need to seek them out. Look for them. I need to continually change my mind, He said in 1 Corinthians 6 when it came to this, that one of the things that they had done, they had made changes in their life. He lets us know such were some of them. But you've been washed, sanctified, and cleansed. I need to always be learning so that I can answer. I need to always be growing. And He warned them in Hebrews 5 that they weren't growing the way they should. So as a Christian, I have to continue this process to stay as a new creation. Same way in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that I may grow thereby. And in 2 Peter 1, add. Who does that? The Christian. I need to add all these things to my life. So I'm going to finish with this in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, all these things are in this, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, you can't earn it. I don't care if you do righteous works. You can't earn this, but we are His workmanship. Using this term again, created in Christ Jesus, this new creation for good works that He has before ordained that we should walk in them, clearly saying, I have to continue. I have to keep working. I have to keep walking in the light. A new creation? Absolutely. What a blessing it is to be a part of this new creation, to be a new creation. We can be a new creation by repenting and being born again. That's what He says. We must then seek the things above and continue to change our lives. Question, have you started on this path today? If not, I would encourage you to do so. We make it as simple and as easy as we can. That's why we do this. That's why we even say, stand as we sing this song. We want to make it easy on you to become a child of God. If you have any needs, please let us know. We're going to sing number 932.